This morning's scripture comes from Psalm 98. I'll be reading verses 4 through 6. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in a joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
In 1719, the writer of many of the classic traditional hymns of our faith, a man named Isaac Watts, he published a book in England, and the book was called Psalms of David Imitated in the Language of the New Testament. They weren't very concerned about catchy titles back in those days. If the name Isaac Watts doesn't ring a bell, some of the most well-known songs, hymns that we sing, are penned by him. They include When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, or At the Cross, At the Cross, At the Cross. But as great as those are, and as often as we sing them here at Westkirk, his most famous hymn, the most famous Watts hymn ever published, from this book, Psalms of David Imitated in the Language of the New Testament, is the one that is the title of the sermon this morning. The word imitated trips us up a little bit. He took the words of Psalms, many of them, most of them, and rewrote them in his own words. In the vernacular of his day, and he did it with an eye toward New Testament truths. Today we would say that he paraphrased those Psalms. Isaac Watts paraphrased 138 Psalms through the lens of their fulfillment in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Joy to the World is based on Psalm 98, and I thought it was a perfect text for today, for Christmas Day, especially since Christmas Day is on a Sunday this year, not because we want to sing Joy to the World, which we will in a little bit, but because in a couple of weeks, we're going to jump back to our study of Revelation, and we're going to make our way through the second half of that book. And so let me tell you what I mean by that correlation right after I pray. Let's pray together. Mighty God, we have heard the prophets tell of your coming. We've read about Elizabeth and Mary and Simeon as they speak of your salvation. Salvation to come in the child. The shepherds were full of your praises. The angels sang Gloria to your greatness. Move among us now with your Spirit so that we too might hear and experience the wonder and the joy of the living word as we seek to welcome the written word into our hearts and into our minds this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Christmas season wouldn't be complete if we didn't sing Joy to the World, would it? It wouldn't. It's like the most joyous of all of the Christmas carols. And if you notice the lyrics to the song, if you think about them, maybe you've opened your hymnal already, you see nothing in the song about shepherds or a manger or wise men, or angels, or any other character or element that we would normally associate with the Christmas story. Do you realize that? The reason being is that Isaac Watts did not write Joy to the World to be a Christmas song. Its popularity soared, we think, when an American named Lowell Mason took Watts' lyrics over 100 years later in the 19th century and adapted them to one of the melodies from Handel's Messiah. Maybe that's why the tune is so catchy for us. The famous first four tones of Joy to the World match the beginning of the chorus, "Lift up your heads." But even if Watts never intended for the hymn to be sung only during the Advent season or at Christmas time, it's good and it's right for hymnals to place it in the section that includes all of the other Christmas carols, because it's during Advent, it's during the Christmas season that we celebrate three of the most significant aspects of Jesus' life and of his mission. And these are the three things that form the outline of Psalm 98: Jesus' incarnation, his dwelling in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and his glorious return as judge on the last day. Now, Emma read for us the middle portion of the psalm, the part most associated with Joy to the World. But let me take you back to the beginning. Let's read verses 1 to 3. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, one of the tricky things about preaching the Psalms is that we often find it very difficult to know the context or the historical background associated with many of these Psalms. Sometimes there's a little introductory remark at the beginning. It might say a Psalm of David or a Psalm of Moses or something about the context or the setting in which the Psalm was sung or read. Psalm 98 falls into the fourth of five books of Psalms in the Psalter. If you read through the Psalms, you know that every once in a while it'll stop and it'll say book number two. This is in Psalm number four, and we think it was compiled to emphasize or to bring meaning to the people Israel during their time of exile in Babylon. Since Israel was in exile, we might see this collection of psalms, this fourth book of psalms, as missionary psalms. They were missionary psalms, psalms either written or included in this section because they bring encouragement to God's people while they are living far away in a foreign land. In the case of Israel, having been conquered and their ruling and educated class being sent away, it would seem both for those remaining in the land and those who are part of those families or born into those families that were living in foreign territory, you can imagine that this would be an encouraging word. But they would also appear to be a people who would seem defeated, right? A defeated people. Psalm 98 is also clustered together with Psalms 96, which we read this morning already, Psalm 97 and 99, four psalms that in their own way stress the kingship of God, and remind the readers that he is sovereign, that he reigns, and that despite whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, God is not only in control, but he's victorious. Our God is a victorious God. Now, we can see how this message would be an important one for those who were defeated back home or those who were far away in exile then, can't we? But we also can hear how ridiculous this might sound under those circumstances too. God is in control. We have actually won. Are you kidding me? So what is this new song that we heard about in Psalm 96 and also here in 98 that celebrates a victory of God? Well, we don't know sure what the psalmist had in view, but again, the importance of these psalms, this psalm in particular and the ones around it, is not necessarily the chronology of the events that the psalmist had in mind, but where the psalm is in the Psalter. The point is that the new song celebrates a victory, reminds of a victory. This is the mighty thing that God has done. He's brought a victory. We've got military language in verse 1, as the word salvation here at the end can also be rendered victory. But as we move from verse 1 to verse 3, this word, which is the main idea in this whole stanza, verses 1 to 3, moves from victory to salvation. When Isaiah speaks of this victory of salvation, he speaks of the establishment and the maintenance of God's justice on the earth. And that is exactly what the Christ child, also named salvation, comes to bring us. And bring it, as verse 2 introduces to us, bring it to all the world, not just to the Jews, not just to the church, but to all people. The nations will witness what the Lord is victorious about as he blesses his people. I love that. As Watts conveys it well in Joy to the World, he traces the redemption story throughout history from the promise in the garden, from Genesis 3:15 to Christ's glorious return. We get all of that in Joy to the World. And in Psalm 98, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. That's Genesis language. He comes to make his blessing flow far as the curse, Genesis 3, is found. Salvation is completely of the Lord. Christ is our victorious warrior, whose right hand and his whose holy arm have gained the victory. He is our Savior, who in fulfilling his covenant, the covenant with Abraham, remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel and blessed the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Genesis 17, verses 2 and 3. Then in the middle section that Emma read for us already, Psalm 98 and Joy to the World tell us how to respond to this great salvation. This is the focal point of the psalm because it is structured in one of those chiasms. We talk about that every once in a while. The first section and the last section point towards and reflect upon what comes in the middle. Verses 4 to 7. For the believer, joy to the world is a message of joy, and that, of course, is the central motif of the entire Advent season. Really, of the whole Christian life. The Christian life is one of joy, no matter what our circumstances in, because of the accomplished work and the promise that has been given to us through Christ. Our joy is in that finished work, not just the finished work on the cross, but the work that the Lord is doing in us, that he continues to do in us, and to whom we glorify and enjoy forever. Psalm 98 is full of references to joy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, or shout joyfully to the Lord, I think as the NIV puts it, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. So this is our response to the victorious salvation of our God through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And not just for us, but for the whole earth, for everyone. Meaning all people must prepare for his coming, right? All people. We respond even with music, which I think is what is so great, what is so joyous for us about the Christmas season. No matter where we go, amidst all of the busyness of the holiday preparations and the crabbiness of Christians who don't like it when people worship and remember the reason for the season and all that sort of stuff, wherever we go, it still seems good for most people and even most recording artists to sing sacred texts set to music for this season. And of course, Isaac Watts' hymn echoes Psalm 98's command to joyfully, joyfully proclaim God's great deeds to all the earth. Just as God has openly displayed his salvation, his righteousness, his kingdom reign, his judgment in the sight of all nations, so God's covenant people, all nations and all creation must burst forth in praise to him. Joy to the world. Watts captures Psalm 98's central theme that our ultimate eternal purpose is to joyfully worship God. And as John Piper says in his great work on evangelism, let the nations be glad. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Christ's redemptive work always results in an outpouring of praise. A praise which deepens as it approaches its complete fulfillment, the complete fulfillment of God's redemptive work. So when we gather to worship each Sunday, our worship is really just a foretaste of the eternal worship of the Lord before his throne, where for all eternity we are going to repeat the sounding joy. So Christ has made known and accomplished God's salvation. He is our victorious King. In the final section of Psalm 98, he's our coming judge. And he's our coming judge when he will, with all finality, finish what he began at his first coming. Listen to it now, picking it up at verse 7. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. You see the future aspect of Psalm 98 here. Jesus Christ, the Creator, whose first advent, whose redemption and victory will come again to restore everything to himself. That is why he comes again. This is the great restoration that we look forward to and we prepare our hearts for during the Advent season. Amidst the preparations that we undertake for everything else. The world is the stage into which this redemptive drama plays out, and here and now we have a part in that drama. But even nature has a part to play. Did you see that? As it awaits God's great restoration in Christ. Do you hear that? The animal world, even all of the plants, every created thing will rejoice at his coming. And given some of what has occurred in creation due to our sinfulness, we can understand, we kind of get how the physical earth anticipates the return of Christ as much as we should. When he makes all things new. And at his coming, a coming we will see with great and vivid imagery as we make our way to the end of Revelation, his coming will reestablish his dominion, his power, his control, not just in heaven, but on earth, for the two will be reunited, heaven and earth, in victory, the victory of Christ's judgment that is yet to come. So certainly we can look to the message of Psalm 98 as well as its faithful imitation in Isaac Watts' Joy to the World, and see that it can be applied to Christ's appearance as a babe in Bethlehem as we prepare room for him in our hearts and in our lives, because this day is a joyous occasion. The song does apply to the Christmas story in that the Lord is come and we should rejoice. It's a joyous occasion. But let the lyrics all point you to the reason Jesus came, to save the world. And be ready, because he's coming again. What a glorious day that will be when the whole earth celebrates his appearing. May your singing of this great hymn comfort and encourage you as you remember that your joy, the joy is in your Savior and Lord, who has given you the delightful duty to repeat the sounding joy of the wonders of his love, now and forever. Let's pray. Oh Christ, light made manifest as the true light of God, Jesus, gladden our hearts on this joyful morning that we celebrate your glory, but also call us by our name on that great day when you come again, and give us grace in between to offer with all of the angelic host of heaven unending praise to you, to God the Father, and to your Spirit, in whom all things find their fulfillment, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
And now I would encourage you to open your hymnals to hymn number 125, and let's stand and sing Joy to the World with new meaning in our heart.
People of God, receive this benediction. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace.